COVID is exploding across the region, and new records for daily cases and hospitalizations are routine. While the virus has impacted how all of us live our lives, it has taken an especially steep toll on communities of color. The vast majority of cases and deaths in LA County are among Latinos. However, the highest rate of infection among any racial or ethnic group is taking place among LA's Pacific Islander community. They're three times more likely than Latinos to come down with the virus, with about 2,500 per 100,000 taking ill. Joining us to shed some light on why this cohort is so susceptible to coronavirus and why those numbers are so high is Dr. Ranald Samoa. He's an endocrinologist at City of Hope and a member of the National Council of Asian Pacific Islander Physicians. Dr. Samoa, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
So Angelenos, who are Pacific Islanders, are six times more likely to come down with COVID than white people. Infection rates are five times higher for Pacific Islanders than black residents. Is this shockingly high infection rate linked to the same factors contributing to higher rates among other ethnic groups?
Yes, a lot of the factors are very similar to other communities of color. The high percentage of essential workers, the relatively large percentage that live in multi-generational homes, longstanding lack of access to medical services due to longstanding social economic inequities, all of these have contributed to their predisposition.
While you've identified some common factors underlying the healthcare challenges many minority communities face, are there any specific traditions or practices that are common among Pacific Islanders that could be leading to increased transmission of the virus?
Yes. So I think some of the things that are somewhat unique in Pacific Islander communities is there is a tendency to gather in large groups in regards to celebrations. A majority of Pacific Islanders are affiliated with a religious institution. So we are talking about a very high percentage of community members that subscribe to a certain faith and will gather when possible. I think one of the things that we're also seeing is now there's a stigma of shame that comes with COVID-19. And so shame and mistrust, those are two things that help this virus spread. But one thing that is in particular to this community is, especially in the Polynesian Pacific Islanders, is a perspective of health that thinks of illness as a result of some type of transgression within a relationship, either with one's family, one's faith, one's community. And so oftentimes when illness comes about, there's a thought of someone not being mindful of those relationships.
You talk about a widespread view of health being tied to relationships, to faithfulness, to certain factors, sort of maybe both in and outside of our control. Are there moves inside the Pacific Islander community that you're aware of where leaders in that community are reaching out to Pacific Islanders, talking about how to best prevent the virus, why one should be open with contact tracers, or what to do in case you do get ill?
Yes. So there are groups that are the National Pacific Islander COVID-19 Response Team is actually just the national organization that helps provide technical assistance to regional efforts. There's a regional task force in Southern California, and they're working hard with their public health departments to increase the cultural capacity or the competency of these contact tracers. There's also efforts in regards to podcasts using Pacific Islander health professionals as well as faith-based leaders to push this messaging out.
There's been recent reporting that Filipino Americans are also dying from COVID-19 at elevated rates. Numbers from the Philippine Consulate General of LA say that out of 48 Filipino Americans known to have been infected with COVID in SoCal, 19 died. Can you offer any insight on if there are overlapping factors contributing to the high mortality rates Filipinos are seeing?
Absolutely. There's a lot of parallel socioeconomic factors between the two communities. And one of the things that Filipinos are struggling with is that their data is aggregated. So Asian data is generally reported as one big number, but subgroups in there that may be experiencing significant disparities, such as the Filipino community, are being hidden. And so what would look like a community that's not affected actually has subgroups that are, you know, they're at really high risk because they have a high percentage of not just essential workers, but they have a high percentage of essential workers that work in the medical field, in nursing homes. And until that data comes about, resources don't get dedicated to this high-risk group.
LA County health officials are aware of the increased risk Pacific Islanders are at. What sort of outreach have you seen, or are you aware of, that's specifically targeting Native Hawaiians or other people from Oceania in our region?
There's more focused testing that we see. There's been efforts to help these families find resources, such as paying for utility bills, finding resources to help with housing security, food security, and these efforts are continuous.
We've been speaking with endocrinologist Dr. Reynold Samoa about COVID-19's rapid spread in LA's Pacific Islander community. Dr. Samoa, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.